Thank you, Ruth and Carol and Dave, for that beautiful music. As a reminder of what we are blessed with in this country. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. Glad to see you all. And also, we remember this very important day in our history as a part of being a part of Christ's family, and that is Pentecost Sunday. And I have been trying to relearn, if you will, as much as I can about that important time in our lives. And I encourage you to do the same, not just as a part of history, but what it means to us in terms of having the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're glad to see you all. And I just wanted to remind you to please look, when you get a chance, at the announcements of some things coming up, not so much this week, but things coming up soon at the walking club. I've never seen a club walking, but nonetheless, we have some of our relatives here, and they just pull it out of me. I don't know. Glad to have them here from Kentucky and from Eastern Ohio. Good to see you all. And they're great cooks, too. So anyway, we remind you of those things. And then I would ask Chris to come. She wants to remind us of something coming up this summer. Chris?
Just a quick reminder about Vacation Bible School that's coming up in the very, very last day in July and the first 2 days in August. Please start praying about that. I know we have some workers out there already that are committed, but that is something in the next couple weeks that really needed to be sooner. This has been a very busy, busy time. So we will be getting out those books again and begin looking again at the program that we started last year, and we'll continue it this year as well. So that's coming up. Keep that in there. And then that kayaking and picnic. You guys are invited. Please think about coming to that. We'll pray that the rain stays away, that it's a good day. And this is a time when you can invite your friends and family, you know, just anybody that you want. It'll be a picnic at the Prairie Oaks Metro Park. It's a 5-minute drive from here. And we'll bring our kayaks, and we'll probably have maybe up to 5 or 6 kayaks for you to use. They have a walking trail that's maybe 1 mile around that lake. And anyone who wants to walk farther, there are lots of trails. We'll bring some games, and we'll just have a good family time there. So if you want more information, see me, but it'll be something that I'm hoping our church family will be enjoying. So just wanted to remind you about that. And then Roxanne has our missions moment.
Good morning. Well, it's time to remind you once again about our collection that we take for Pregnancy Decisions Health Center. Every year I have a baby bottle collection, and where you can just put your coins in here or dollar bills if you prefer. And then there's a larger bottle out at the welcome desk. So we have until Father's Day to bring that money in, and then they'll pick it up. So I want to thank you for participating in that all these years. I also want to ask you to continue to pray for our missionaries as they work to spread God's word around the world. There are many places where revival is occurring. Many times we don't hear that part of it, but within Iran and China specifically, they're seeing revival in those countries, probably because of all the devastating persecution that they're going through as well. But God is meeting their needs, and that's what's important. So continue to pray for our missions team as well as the missionaries around the world, and bring your change in. Thanks.
Let's start off with Memorial Day. This is about the people that have served, the men and women that have served in the service. I just lost a neighbor, a Vietnam vet. He died in his sleep about 2 days ago. And he was 75, I think. And we're going to go to his viewing. We get close to our neighbors, and he would suffer from Agent Orange for many, many years. But that'll be a loss for his wife. And so it's a pretty important thing to be in the military. Would you, if you were in the military and served in any form, would you stand this morning? Thank you. I missed Vietnam by a year and a half, I think, is what I missed. But I remember when they came home, and I'm just so thankful that the Vietnam vets get the respect that they deserved. I'm going to jog your memory before we sing. I don't think I'd care to hear that every morning, but when I was growing up and going to church camp, the first day of camp, they found out I played trumpet back in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and I had to do that every, I got roped into doing that every morning and then playing taps at night. It didn't hurt me, I guess, but it brings back nightmares of church camp. No, just kidding. Let's do the pledge. Let's stand. Do the pledges this morning before we sing. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let's do the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand this morning. Amen. America the Beautiful, let's sing this morning.
America,
read together this morning, Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation His empire shall bring, and joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring that we belong to Jesus. He is all we need. Oh, lift up a heart of praise. Sing out with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the His returning, we watch and we pray. We be ready the dawn of the day. We'll join in singing with all the redeemed, for Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring that we belong to Jesus. He is all we need. Oh, lift up a heart of praise. Sing with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. Come, let us sing a song declaring that we belong to Jesus. He is all we need. Oh, lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. Sing to the
Father, this morning, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have a lot of politics going on today, a lot of uncertainty. But when we look at our country, we pray for our country and our leadership. We need to continue to pray for them. But we're glad that you're in charge. We live and breathe because of what you've done for us today. Help us to spread the news today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. God's doing amazing things. What are they? Waiting for you to share this morning what God's doing. It's been a busy week for me this morning. This morning's been a busy week, too, but this week's been busy. My daughter had her catalytic converter stolen off her car. That was exciting. On the day, we were visiting my mom in the hospital, so that happened before we left. And then came back and asked God, what am I supposed to do about this? So I got the idea just to weld a pipe on. So I welded a pipe on and ordered the parts. So it's going to save me about $500 if I do it myself. So we're going to put the part on, spray it with fluorescent red paint, engrave it with the VIN number on the car and walled up a little cage over top of it so they can't steal it again. But that happened right in front of our house. 4 o'clock in the morning, took them 7 minutes, and they were done. So if you look on there, they take a jack and put it in the back of the car. They jack up your car, slide underneath, take a Sawzall, cut it off, snip your wires, and take the piece. So that was an exciting event we had this week. My mom's doing okay, up and down. She's got some kind of infection now, so that's another thing we're dealing with. Roger Luke's the same way. He's got maybe cellulitis, so pray for him. Peggy's probably getting worn out, going back and forth, staying there for him, and so stay for that. Pray for that as well.
I asked requests for prayer for my granddaughter a few weeks ago, and they had to cancel the surgery. She'd had a lot of congestion when they went into the heart with the cath, and so they couldn't do it because they thought she might get infection. But anyway, in the process between the wait, she got a hold of Boston, Massachusetts. They're second in the world for heart, children's heart problems. Texas is number one. So they're going to be leaving June 1st to have testing, and what they're going to do is go in and actually found out if Children's in Cincinnati had done this heart surgery, she would have to replace these stents and shunts every 6 months. So this way, Boston said the surgery they're going to do for her, she won't have to do all that. So anyhow, she'll be having surgery June 9th. According to now, so she's going to be 6 years old. This will be her fourth open heart surgery. So I'm thanking God that she's lived 6 years. And she's such a sweet child. She plays t-ball. She still can run around, but she does get quite winded with her blockage she now has. So just remember Gracelyn, and what a great name for little Gracie. You know, God's amazing grace that he's kept her, and we've enjoyed her for almost 6 years now, and I plan to enjoy her all through her adulthood as long as I live.
Isn't that good that God goes before? He knows all these plans ahead of time. You know, we think we have it figured out, but we don't have it figured out. God has it figured out. We think something seems bad, but this seemed like a bad thing, but it's not a bad thing because now she's going somewhere where it's even going to be better. So he had the plan ahead of time. Anybody else have a prayer request or praise this morning?
There's a fellow that when I went into the limbo business, his name is John Lewis. He retired from COTA. We became friends over the years, and he's had two types of cancers, colon cancer, which is prevalent in men, and then after that he had stomach cancer. And if you hear the word Zionmeister, that's out by the airport, they do a lot of oncology work, blood work. They can't help him anymore. And I've asked to come out see him, but he won't let me because I think he doesn't feel like it, or he doesn't have the appearance of a man that should look his age. But I always continue to call him, and he's Catholic. And I know he's wondering where his destiny is going to lie, like we all do. But they can't help him anymore, and cancer's mean. It doesn't discriminate. So we hear a lot about things about, there's over 100 cancers, different cancers. The gentleman he mentioned at 75 died of Agent Orange. Well, I got Agent Orange, too, and I was in Vietnam, and it's mean, and it don't discriminate. So I think of other people I call that I've made friends over the years that are a lot older than me, that are lonely, and are just waiting around to die, and it's just sad.
Any other requests this morning? Okay, let's pray. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Be with those who could be with us today. As we think about Memorial Day coming up, Lord, be with those who've gone on ahead of us, who've given their lives in service to this country, Lord, but we have a great reunion coming when we're going to see you face to face, and our loved ones that know you that have passed on, we're going to see them as well. So glory is waiting for us. We thank you for that, Father. But as we're here on this earth, we pray for these different requests that have been made this morning, Lord, for health, some for finances, probably some for spiritual touch. So, Lord, we pray for this surgery, for this little girl that's going to have a surgery, but we thank you that it's going to happen once and not have to happen 6 times or every 6 months. And this man who has cancer, and for my mom, and for Roger, and for Donna, and all the different ones, Lord, out there, Jay, for the ones that are not doing well, we're praying for improvement for them. We're asking God, you to touch their bodies, touch their mind, touch their spirit. Lord, we know the most important healing that we need is spiritual, that they may know you as their Lord and Savior, and that that's going to be a glorious day when they meet you face to face. But we just pray now that you would give us your strength and your direction. Keep us safe, Lord, today. Help those who are not here, maybe traveling with family or friends or doing something, working, who knows what they're doing, but be with them. And guide the rest of the service. May we glorify you in all that we say and do. Be with Russ and Kathy as they're not feeling well either. In Jesus' name.
Gonna be doing our slides this morning, so we're trading off. Before we start, I need to bring something to your attention. This past week, we got some bad news. Anybody here have a mortgage? Raise your hand. Yeah, they raised our percentage on our mortgage, so they're gonna increase our payment by $260 a month. And, for the church, for this building, for us. So just letting you know that if you're a tithing person, keep doing that. If you haven't been able to do that, that might be a good time to start. If you can give a little more, that'd be good as well. So $260 a month extra. They raised it last year, and then all of a sudden we got something in the mail or email and just said, we're going to raise this on you. So we didn't really have anything we could do about it. So just something to keep in mind. We know God's good. He's going to take care of it, but you guys need to know what's happening. It's not a secret. Our finances are on the board, so just let you know what's going on with that. But I want to start with a tribute to Memorial Day, since that's coming up Monday. And it's a great time to educate ourselves about it. It was called Decoration Day in the beginning, established by General John A. Logan. And he called for citizens to lay flowers on the graves of the Civil War dead, whose bodies now lay in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land, is what he said. And the Memorial Day would later become an official holiday in 1971. The last day of May was decreed a federal holiday by Congress. We're supposed to honor fallen armed service members from all American wars. So those who have passed on. So this is different than Veterans Day. This is for those who have fallen. So a couple of quotes. Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "Those who have long enjoyed such privileges as we enjoy forget in time that men and now women have died to win them." So people died for our freedoms. We don't think about that. Unless it's affected you personally, we don't think a lot of times about people dying for war and dying for causes. But if it's affected you personally and you have a relative or somebody that you know has passed away, or a son or daughter, anybody, then it makes a big difference. Ronald Reagan said a couple things. He said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." We're supposed to teach them about what freedom cost and to keep that fight going, because it seems every day in America we're losing more freedoms, one after another. He also said, some people live an entire lifetime and wonder if they ever made a difference in the world. A veteran does not have that problem. They know they made a difference in the world. So this morning we called to remember those who have lost their lives while serving in our country and to say thank you. And let's never forget those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for us. So as you think about Memorial Day, you have picnics and family gathered around, think about the price that it cost to get to that point. Have the celebration, enjoy it, but be thankful, though, for those who sacrificed ultimately everything. So this message is kind of a conglomeration of things because this is Pentecost Sunday as well. So I wanted to do a little bit about Memorial Day and then about Pentecost Sunday. So this is Pentecost Sunday. They recognize and remember as the time the Holy Spirit came to the disciples in the upper room and gave them power to proclaim the news of Jesus Christ. So imagine how you would be in that time. Persecution, people are being killed for their faith, and they're sent out to broadcast that to the world, knowing that at any time they could be killed for that. I mean, we don't really know what that's like for us because we've never had a time when somebody's going to kill us for sharing about Christ. Other countries have had those things, but in America, so far, we haven't had that. But that's the day when the Holy Spirit was given to all who believed in the Lord. So I ask the question, if the Holy Spirit was released upon the earth at Pentecost, where was he before? Is it just a New Testament thing? Well, the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament as well. We don't hear about it a lot unless you look for it. But let me explain. Just remember how the weatherman works when they say scattered showers. What does that mean when they say scattered showers? Well, who knows, right? But it means it's here and there in different places, right? Scattered showers. It's hit and miss. Not everybody's going to get wet, only some or few. Some or few will. The rain is here and there, but not everybody's experiencing it. So as in that case, the Holy Spirit was like that in the Old Testament. He was here and there in different places. It was scattered spirit, basically, right? He was in different places. He wasn't in one spot. Here's some examples Thomas Nelson cites for us about the Holy Spirit. We see the Spirit active in creation in Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the water. So the Spirit was here in the beginning, wasn't he? Hovering over the water. The Spirit was here in the Old Testament. Genesis 2:7. The Spirit gives life to humanity and the other creatures. And the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. It's interesting that Genesis says, talking about breathing into the nostrils the breath of life, because sometimes the word breath is translated as spirit. So the Spirit was there as well when he made man. Breathed into his spirit. Gave him spirit, basically. Came upon certain judges and warriors and prophets, and he gave him extraordinary power. For example, Gideon, Judges 6:34. Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and the Abizarites gathered behind him. So the Spirit of the Lord came on him before he blew the trumpet. He was proclaiming that for the Lord. He was doing that for him. This one you'll recognize, Samson in Judges 13. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manah Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. In Judges 14, now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hands. Time and time again, the Spirit came on Samson and did incredible things. So can you imagine a lion attacking you, just grab it and rip it apart? You'd be like, wow, how did that happen? But that's what he did. Then later on, you know, he moves the pillars of the temple and all those things, killed more people than he did when he was alive. But then Ezekiel said, the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. So sometimes God speaks to us, doesn't he? He tells us things, what's happening, how to do things, what not to do, all those kinds of things. If we listen. Sometimes we get too distracted, though, don't we? Too many things around us, too many people's opinions. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, ask somebody else for their opinion and do what they say to do. Right? But we usually do that first. What do you think I should do? Well, what do you think I should do? We should be saying, what does he think I should do? And does that agree with what you think I should do? Pray for me. Help me to find the right decision. Let's pray together for what this decision is going to be. Well, there's many times in the Old Testament that we're not going to cover that he was working there. But we're going to look at Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and what it means to us today. So where do we get the name? According to Jimmy Akin, the word Pentecost comes from the Greek word meaning 50th. It's the 50th day after Easter, after Jesus rose from the grave on the Christian calendar. So it's 50th day. Penti means five. Costi. In the Old Testament, it's referred to as the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of the Harvest, the Day of First Fruits. In the Jewish circles, it's known as Shavuot. That's why it says it on the front of your bulletin. So you probably think, what does this word mean? Well, hopefully you didn't know, and you were wondering what it meant, so that way I can tell you what it meant. A Pentecost represents fulfillment of what they wrote about Christ in Luke. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 24, just a few verses starting in 44. In the Amplified, it says, "Then he said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything which has been written about me in the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to help them understand the scriptures and said, 'And so it is written that Christ the Messiah, the anointed, would suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and that repentance necessary for forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Listen carefully. I'm sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you. But you're supposed to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed fully and equipped with power from on high.'" So part of the fulfillment of Scripture was the coming of the Holy Spirit after Jesus rose. But you have to repent first, don't you? Repent and receive. Sometimes we want to receive, but we don't want to repent. We don't want to say, "Well, I was wrong," or "I did something wrong." I want to say, "Oh, they'll forget about it. If it goes long enough, they're just going to forget about it." But if we do something wrong, especially with the Lord, we need to repent and say, "God, I did that. I'm sorry. Forgive me so I can keep going, so I can be right with you and have that right relationship." But Jesus is giving instructions of what they must do. He says, "I'm going to send you something that the Father promised, the Holy Spirit, but you have to wait for it." We're not really a society of waiting, are we, too much? Some of you that are older remember when the internet first came out and it was dial-up? It was like, psh, bing, bong, bing, bang, and you had to wait. It's like, "Ooh, you got mail." You know, that was like amazing. Nowadays, we made more than 3 seconds. We're like, "This stupid computer," and you just want to throw your computer, right? You go into a fast food store, like McDonald's, Burger King, whatever. You wait more than a minute in line and you're complaining because they're too slow. We want things now, fast, fast, fast. We don't want to wait. Waiting a lot of times is good for us, isn't it? When you're waiting for the right spouse to come along, you had to wait, 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 and finally she recognized I was the one, and then, you know, that was it. She can't comment when she's down there, so I can say whatever I want up here. But I might hear about it later, so. But he said, "Go to Jerusalem and stay there until you're clothed fully or equipped or baptized in the Holy Spirit." So we talk about baptism, it means, baptisto means to immerse. So he's saying, go there and wait till you're immersed in the Holy Spirit, till you're equipped, till you're ready. You ever try to do something when you're not really ready? It doesn't work too well. But when you're fully equipped and you're trained and you're ready to go, it makes a big difference. So the waiting to me, I was thinking, it's like when you order something from Amazon and you have to wait for it. And you're waiting and waiting. But the good thing is you get updates sometimes. You know, here it is. It's on the way. And you're getting all excited. And all of a sudden your doorbell rings, bing, bing. And you're like, "Oh, it's here." Well, they didn't have Amazon, but they were waiting. That's kind of the idea, to wait for what God had in store for them, a power they didn't have on their own, something they couldn't get by themselves. So what's the benefit? Power to share the good news. Power to be able to stand against persecution. Be able to stand against the fear. If you ever go out witnessing, you know, it's not like, "Oh, this is going to be a great time. It's so fun." Maybe some people do that, but I'm like, "Okay, we're going to witness today. It's kind of scary. What's this person going to say? What are they going to do?" Even nowadays, you think, is somebody going to shoot me? Is somebody going to do whatever, assault me when I share? But we're supposed to be sharing in God's power, right? And if he tells you to share, you just share, even if it doesn't seem like it's logical. That person may be in a state that they need to hear it, and nobody else is going to tell them, and you're the one supposed to share. You're like, okay, I'm going to say this. It seems kind of weird, but I'm going to say this. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you need me to pray for you today? And they may say, yeah, I've been waiting for that. We accept the Lord. We accept access to his power as well for us to share the gospel, to open our minds to understand what the Bible says and be able to share with others and explain to them what it means. And don't be afraid to say, I don't know. Worst thing you can do is tell somebody something that's not true because you don't know. Just say, I'm not sure. How about I look it up and get back with you? That gives you another chance to maybe meet with them again. But back to the old illustration of the weatherman. In the Old Testament, it was scattered showers, but in the New Testament, it's 100% chance of rain. 100% chance the Holy Spirit's going to be there. 100% he's going to go to wherever people ask him to come in. 100% everybody's going to get wet with the Holy Spirit, right? You can't get out of it. It doesn't matter where you go. You're just going to get it. As long as you're accepting Christ and asking for his power, you're going to have it. In Acts chapter 1, he reiterates the idea of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. He says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you've heard and speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So they knew what baptism was, didn't they? But they may not have understood what baptism and the Holy Spirit meant, so he used that illustration to show them what baptism meant. Wait till the Holy Spirit is in you. Verse 8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To them, that's a big thing. You know why? Because they didn't have the same kind of transportation we have. They didn't have airplanes and cars and all those things. And think about, you're going to be a witness to the end of the earth. That's a big thing. So if we were here and had no transportation, they say, you're going to be witnesses to Kentucky and Georgia and Florida. And you're like, how is that going to happen? Because God's going to give you that power to be that witness to those places, whether it's sharing people from those places or whether it's you going to those places. Let me jump to Acts 1:15. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. You know, an advocate is somebody who sticks up for you. Somebody who stands beside you, holds you up, gives you strength, and encourages you. That's an advocate. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When you feel down and depressed and defeated, he's the one that says, you can do this. God's on your side. You're not alone. And then he talks about the Spirit of Truth. He enables us to see what God's truth is, even when people are trying to lead us astray. There's all kinds of false things out there, aren't there? Just watch the news. You hear all kinds of false things. It frustrates me that they never report anything good on the news. It's always who was shot, what's happening, what the problem was, who's fighting against who. It's never the good things that are happening, right? These good things are happening in our schools. These good things are happening in society. These are the great things that are happening in our churches, but we never hear that. We only hear the bad stuff. Wouldn't it be good if we could hear the good stuff? So here's the good stuff right here. That's where the good stuff is that we want to hear. We go to his word and listen to the good stuff. In this passage, the Holy Spirit lives in us because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But if there's sin in your life, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to be there. You have to make sure you're clean. If you never took a bath, you think people would accept you very well? Or they'd be like, ooh, get away from me. Remember Lazarus rose from the grave? What did he say? I stinketh. Think God ever says that about us? You stink. You need to get that sin out of your life so you can be a clean vessel for me. I want to use a clean vessel. I don't want to use a dirty cup. I want a clean one. And we get clean by going to him, and he washes us and makes us clean. The song talks about being whiter than snow. He makes us whiter than snow. In John 14:25, he says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, remind you of everything that I have said to you. So he's going to teach us things and remind us things. We talked last week about remembering. You know, my wife reminds me of things because I forget. He's got to remind us of his word. We heard this morning, well, if you were in Sunday school, which I was walking through, and Jesse was sharing about Isaac's message about memorizing one verse a week. Then by the end of a year, you got 52 verses. Instead of trying to do them all at once, just do one verse. Even if it takes you a month. If you get one verse a month, you got 12, right? It's 12 more than you had before. So your minds as the things helps us to learn about things. He tells us what we're supposed to do. So here's another question. Do you know everything? I mean, if you ask a teenager, they're going to say, yeah, I probably do, but we don't. We don't know everything, do we? I don't know everything. I need to be taught, especially what the Lord wants me to know. A lot of things he teaches us, we can't learn from the world. He has a different economy than we have. He has a different plan than we have. He has a different purpose than we have. He has a different mentality than we have. Because he thinks of things that are greater than us. Things we can't understand, but he helps us understand. And somebody says, well, that's ridiculous. And you say, well, that's okay. God told me to do it. I'm going to do it anyway. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to believe it, because I know God wants me to do it, so I'm going to do this thing. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, helps us. And he helps us work in mighty ways. And he helped his disciples. Acts 2, 1 through 8 never gets old to me. I'm just going to read that part. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place for the feast, and because the Lord told them to wait there in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came, filled them with power. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I think about that part and it amazes me because it says a sound like a blowing wind, but it doesn't say they're getting blown over. Sound like a blowing wind doesn't say they're getting all blown all over the room, but if it's violent wind and you're in the room, everything's getting blown all over the place, it's chaotic. But in this case, it's not. It's the sound of a blowing wind. You ever think about that part? The sound of the wind that came. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What are these other tongues? I think they were other languages. And we'll see this later on. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, and God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven were there because they were to celebrate the feast. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. So these people are from different places. They don't all speak the same language, but they're hearing their language spoken. If you've ever been to a foreign country, they don't speak English. You're excited when you hear somebody speak English. Like, they're speaking my language. Because you can understand what they're saying. In this case, everybody understood what was being said. Everybody, no matter what language they were speaking. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language? So they knew they were from somewhere else, but they could speak all these different languages. And you skip to Acts 2, verse 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. You know, people often make fun of us when they don't understand, don't they? Don't understand what we're saying or why we're saying. They just make a joke of it like it's funny or something. Some, however, but good old Peter gets up by the power of the Holy Spirit along with the 11, as it says in verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, this message is from the Holy Spirit, and it's not just from Jews, but it's for all of us today. He said, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So the Holy Spirit was poured out to further God's kingdom, wasn't it? They weren't trying to get rich or famous or popular. They were just trying to share what God wanted them to hear. And then we see the Holy Spirit come down on Jesus in Luke chapter 4. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned. Came down with a dove. I forgot that part first. And then it says, Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Then he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all surrounding regions, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified. So when Jesus left the earth, did he leave us alone? I said, I leave my power with you, my Holy Spirit, to be there with you, to guide and direct you. And it also says, Jesus, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't say Jesus is Lord. It would just be a statement. It wouldn't be true. But he gives us gifts, all kinds of different gifts for the common good, for edification and for the glorification of God. So he gives us spiritual gifts to glorify God, not to raise us up as special things. What kind of gifts does he give? He gives wisdom, he gives knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different tongues, and still the interpretation of tongues. What if the Holy Spirit hadn't come? What would the world be like today? We'd be powerless, wouldn't we? There'd be no power when you pray. No power to do anything in the Lord's name. We'd be trying to do it ourselves. And he also tells us to desire the gifts, to ask God for the gifts that he's given us so we can use them for his glory. So I think the Spirit equips us, enables us, and empowers us to do God's work, but he's not going to force us. He tells us to desire the gifts. Say, God, what gift do I have? Do I have the gift of prophecy? Do I have the gift of healing? Right? Am I generous? Am I a prayer warrior? What kind of gift do I have? And then show me that gift. Francis Chan said this, the world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation. And the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Holy Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. I think we need to be at a time when that people are coming back to church, saying there's something there. I can't get this from the TV or the radio. I've got to have what God's given me there in this group that he's using and working together. Especially in these days, we need to see that the world sees us different than them. Too many churches are like everybody else. And they're like, why should I go to church? I can get that at home. But we need to be different the way he wants to be different, in the midst of hatred and fear and anger. And I think a lot of people out there are hopeless. They have no hope. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what tomorrow holds. And like Randy talked about this morning, they don't know where they're going when they die. But it's more of a comforting thing when you know you're going to heaven when you die than not knowing and being scared. So we thank the Lord today for sending us the Holy Spirit. Ask him what he's gifted us to do and help us to find it. Then he wants us to share our fruit with others. Share what you have, what God's given you, so you can see what God has done. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thanks for being with us. Thank you for Memorial Day coming up. Remember those who have passed on the service of our country. But we also thank you for being with us. Father, we just thank you for Pentecost, for sending the Holy Spirit. We ask you to just give us your strength and your power. Help us not to be afraid to proclaim your word. Give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen.